Blog Talk Radio.
Call me Little Bo Beep, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talking cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the lullaby rhyming. Never can't touch this heat, pantomime. He is a liar, so said the lion Judah. Shelter in my protector, running to him be faster than a puma. Holy is a wave, repping the ancient of days. Christ is a big cool homer.
Yeah.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 505-917-5658 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. We didn't get your message either because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection. To disconnect, press 1. To record your message, press 2. We didn't get your message either because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection. To disconnect, press 1. To record your message, press 2. We didn't get your message either because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection. To disconnect, press 1. To record your message, press 2. Unfortunately, the system cannot process your entries. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. I think I fixed the issue and problem. Okay, the system's not kicking me out. So I wanted to thank everybody for joining us for another edition of Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brother Bob. We're so sorry that 8 o'clock and we tried to call in, but I think there was an issue with the hosting kicking me out. So, you know, we're going to get that straightened out and fixed, and we can be able to keep resuming the show. So until then, we're just going to go forward. Hopefully I don't get kicked out, but if I do, we'll just try to figure out another way of getting this problem rectified. So with that, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us for another Sabbath day. The most I always say, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. So as we like to start the Friday service or Friday night sundown honoring the Most High, and going through the scriptures to now get us to the point where we start our week off as like the day the Lord gave to us, the day that he said was for us, for our rest. We like to start the day off or start the evening off in the Bible, in the scriptures, picking a topic, going over that topic, and, you know, trying to get to the point where we're growing in wisdom, knowledge, understanding, having us come together and share in the scriptures. So I'm going to go on into the topic because I lost some valuable time with the problem with the show or with the computer. So what we're going to go into, our topic is going to be the beginning of pride. So the last couple of week classes that we've been going over, we were going over a strife, contention, and things like that. And the class was based around, in my strife and contention, the things I'm fighting. I'm fighting for something because I deal with the spirit of envy. So as we're going through and we're looking at that spirit of envy that we fight, we're competing as opposed to really allowing my spirit to get worked on. And this truth is based around us going into the book and allowing myself to take the Bible. And as I'm using the Bible, I'm using that as a gauge to what's in my spirit or what needs to be worked on. Like the scripture tell you in John, I'm going to get that. Scripture talks about for holding himself in a looking glass. And I think it's in James. Let me just make sure. Real quick. One second. Let me just get this real quick. Here we go. Partial, New Testament. Yeah, here we go. It's James chapter 1 is where I want to go to, right? James chapter 1. Is that Shar? Oh, is that Cindy? Let me send it to you again. Okay. Yeah, let me send the link out real fast. Here we go. Okay, this one right here. Yeah, there's a 30th, right? That's right. Here, click that one. Let's see, I think it's here one more time. Did we go through? Listen, okay. All right, cool. Thank you. It's technical difficulty having everywhere. Okay, the first scripture we're going to go through is I want to go to James. James chapter 1, and we're going to read verse chapter 1 and verse 20. It says verse 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19. The reason I'm going here is because the one thing we're supposed to be looking at is being able to go in this book and look at ourselves to be able to see where I am and the things that have to be worked on in me. And then the trick is not forgetting the things that are in you that have to be worked on. And I love the fact that we go this route and I'm going these scriptures because the one thing that we all have to realize is that as easy as it is to forget who you are and what's in you, the things that you go through in your life, the Most High is constantly showing you the things in you that still have to be worked on. This is going to, the word is going to keep showing you something you have to work on. The things you go through in your life keep showing you something that you have to work on. So, James chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse, I think I said 19. It says, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of men worketh not the righteousness of the Most High. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So the Most High is showing us that the naughtiness, the superficial naughtiness, the filthiness, these are things that are laid apart. They're laid in us. And we're supposed to receive the word. We're supposed to allow the word to come into us with meekness. I'm humble enough to sit back and allow myself to look at what the scripture is saying to me, what the scripture is trying to show about me, what is the things I'm going through and the choices that I'm making, the Most High showing me who I am and how I think and what spirit on me, what things I want. But if I'm able to let the word come in, this is what's able to save my spirit. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And this is where we're starting at. If we don't get to the point of I've stopped fighting for what I'm trying to accomplish or what I'm trying to do, and I start to get to the point that I'm fighting to do the word, take the Bible, start to look at the things in the scriptures and say, this is the change I got to make. So if I'm showing the script, if life is showing me the pride in me, I got to find out, okay, how does the Father feel about this pride? And I got to get rid of this. If life is showing me there's a slothfulness to me, There's not a willing to forgive in me. There's not a willing to get back going, to get back up and get back to serving the Father. If these are the things that are shown to me in life, the Most High is going to show me in the scriptures how to beat that spirit. But I got to be open, humble enough to allow the word to do what it's supposed to do. But it said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, and he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. So you look at this and you're like, I see that. I can look at my life and look at the things, how I handle every situation. It's funny, I told the brother the other day, I was like, man, I know that a lot of things that I was going through, as I'm coming into truth, as I'm coming into that spiritual man, or working towards that spiritual man, as the Father showed me a lot about me. One thing I also always knew about me, I was a hothead. I was quick to just roll off my flesh, and I lacked a lot of discipline, a lot of control. So being that I was that person, as I go through life, what's always reflected to me is that person. And what I got to make sure that I'm in the word, so as life is throwing curves and things happening to me, I got to make sure that I don't go back to being the same person that I was before, because that would be me knowing what I'm capable of, knowing what's in me. But I go ahead and still lean to that side rather than doing what the scriptures tell me I'm supposed to do. So that's what we're supposed to reflect towards. We're supposed to reflect towards being those men or being those people that are doer of this word, not just hearing it. Now, verse 24, it says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. It says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So the Most High has shown us one thing. If I can look at this book and I can pattern after the book, the Most High said that is the person that's going to be blessed, because I didn't lean back to my old man. I didn't lean back to my old ways. I didn't rely on the negativity that I know that's in me. I know who I could be, but not going down that road, not leaning to that, not becoming that person, that's when the Father is showing us, you're going to be blessed because you chose to live your life or pattern your personality, your thoughts, and your actions based off of what the scriptures say. So from there, I'm going to let that go real quick, right? And I'm going to go to, I want to go here. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I just want to jump to verse 12, verse 13, right? Verse 11 first. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It is that growth. everything I'm going through, the Most High is, it's like not just the Most High, but the Word, the Spirit. It's like I'm challenging you to be mature about what you do. I'm challenging you to be more of an adult in your spiritual decisions. So I can look at and go through something, and I know when the things I went through when I first came in, I was young in the truth. I really didn't have an understanding of the Bible. So the Most High winked at a lot of my ignorance. But as I got more seasoned in this book, and like a lot of us, as we get more seasoned in the Bible, our challenges are on a different level. Our challenges are more, they're harder. They're just requiring you to use the book now. For example, if my woman left and I was young, okay, I kind of just moved on and went and got another one and, you know, deal with whatever I was going to do. But as I got older, say, you know, when I was having problems, this time the Most High challenged me, okay, well, use the Bible, start making the adjustments in yourself that you need to make. The approach that you approach the first relationship with, the Most High is not going to sit back and wink at that now, because you should be more mature in the spirit. So even for ourselves, stage by stage, step by step, the Father is still expecting there to be a maturity about you the longer you've been in here. You can't go 10 years and there's been no maturity. How do you know there's no maturity? Hell, the same way you handled a problem 10 years ago is the same way you still handle it now. No maturity. Hell, the crazy thing is, we can handle problems even worse now when we have the Bible, because there's a lack of maturity. Anger has come over us too much. Pride is too strong. We're too arrogant. We're argumentative. We lack humility. These things didn't grow in us. So when we lack these things, we handle our issues and problems worse than what we did from the beginning. And this is what the Most High is trying to show us. He said to show that when I was that child, there was an expectation as a child. Because with the lack of understanding, without the resources of the scriptures, I'm going to do things like a child would do it. He said, but when I became a man, or as I've grown, as I've learned, I should have put away those childish ways. That means I don't handle the things I go through with that same immaturity that I did in the beginning. Now, verse 12, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly. Darkly. It says, but when face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I know. For now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of them is charity. It's showing you why we started as a child. At one point, yes, I did see through a glass darkly. I wasn't sure. I didn't fully understand, because my maturity level was definitely lower. I understood less. I knew less than I did now. But what was supposed to be abiding, what's supposed to be growing, the thing that is being attacked is your faith, is your hope, is your charity. He said, these three, but the greatest of them is charity. But you look at everything that you go through, everything that these spirits are hitting and attacking, they're attacking that spirit of charity. They're attacking your love. They're attacking the things that I would give and do. That should be there growing in me. But the fact that they got attacked, they're only getting attacked because now when you get betrayed, now when you go through the things that you went through, the Most High looking at, okay, what scriptures are you using to combat these things that are growing in you? Now that anger is growing in you. What are you using to combat that? Now your disobedience is growing in. Now your rebellion is growing in you. Now that strife and contention, that malice, all these things are growing in you. What are you using to combat it? That is what the Father is looking at. And how do you know that you are combating it? Because what's abiding is your faith. What's abiding is your hope. What's abiding is your love. It never got taken from me. I didn't allow whatever I was going through to take that away. That's what the Father's trying to look to see. Are these things taken from you? This is why my first scripture is Ecclesiastes and Apocrypha on this class. As we take and we look at what the Father's working on, what Satan and everything that is being attacked, what is he trying to take away? And everything, what is he trying to take away? Then you can understand the spiritual battle that you're going through. Everything you go through is designed and set up so that these things can be taken from you. Let me go here. I got a, hold on. No, just call in. You did? Okay, cool. Hey, call in, Ike, and you can read. So what I'm showing is this. What I'm getting is showing is that, man, we're going to go to Job after this real quick because I want to keep pointing the picture. This is not a new test. This is not a new situation to where we don't realize that our battles every day is you being changed, me being changed, something being taken from me. We'll go to Job chapter 1 real quick, right? We'll go to Job chapter 1. I'm going to get this real quick. And I thought if you got it, come on in. My phone is ready. I can go ahead and answer your call. I mean, so you can read. Job?
I'm in.
All right.
Job chapter 1?
Yeah, Job chapter 1, and we're going to read let's read Job chapter 1 and verse 1, and you're going to read down to verse, we're going to read down to verse 11. We're going to read down. We're just going to read till we get to the point that we're making. We're going to read about this man's challenge so that we can understand that our challenge is parallel. It's not so much of what he went through, but it's the Most High looking at how he acted, what became important, what did he do after he went through what he went through is what the Most High is wanting to see, okay? So to start there, Job chapter 1 and verse 1, I want you to read that.
Chapter 1, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and arose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present, or Salaki, to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord mm-hmm. said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and sheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for not?
Well, to stop there for a minute. Now you look at the story we're reading, right? And you start to realize that Job didn't get hit like he was a new person coming into the church, right? Because the funniest thing is, our tests and most of our things that we go through, when you first come in and you don't have much, you don't have nothing to offer, you just a babe in there, you go through and you're able to go through the things you're going through because what the Most High give you was more than you lost. Your condition from when you came out of the world was so bad that as you came in, I'm about the Most High. But the biggest test is when you've been about the Most High, you've watched the Most High bless you, you've watched him increase you with the families and kids and homes and ribs and cars and all these different things that you were receiving, status, whatever. Everything that you received, you looked at it and you were like, yeah, I'm serving the Most High. I've been right with the Most High. No different than Job did. Job looked at, man, from what I have and for what I've accomplished, from my righteousness, what the Most High blessed me with, I can now pray some prayer for my kids, and I know they're going to do something, and I know that my prayers will protect them. And all of a sudden now, in Job's life, the Most High test Job. Now Job ends up going through something to see how upright, how perfect and upright he really was, just like all of us. Just like we talk about as gold is tried in the fire, so are acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. But you have to be an acceptable man, you had to have caught the Father's attention. You caught the Father's attention. Oh, I want to see how upright you really are. Let's go through this now and see, is that faith still in you? Let me see if that hope is still in you. Let me see if that love is still in you. And this is what our test is. This is why Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha says, when you come to serve the Most High, he said, prepare your spirit for temptation. These are examples of the things that we're going to go through and the tests that are out there in front of us to be able to stop and make us challenge, do I still have faith? I still believe the same way I believed before. Is my hope the same as my hope was before? Is my love the same level of love that I was before? So we're reading about that test that Job went through to see if Job still had that faith, to see if Job still had that hope, to see if Job still had that charity or that love. Read on out. Tell them where you at.
Job chapter 1 and verse 10.
Okay.
Hast not thou made a hedge around about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.
Now, that's how, you know what you're saying? Now, you're reading a position where everything this man was doing for the Most High was blessed him. The work that he's done in honor of the Most High blessed him. And there's a lot of men, a lot of women have been this truth for years now, and I was helping, I was giving, I was doing all of this, and I did see where the Most High blessed me. If it was a healthy child, the Most High blessed me. If it was a situation where one of my kids was sick or suicidal or whatever it may be, and the Most High turned around and, you know what, it was somebody there, was a situation or something where I was taken care of. We all have those stories in us, just like Job did. So would it be so far-fetched that we would get challenged or tested the same way he did? If the Most High had a hedge about us and we were being taken care of and blessed, now all of a sudden the Most High said, he told Satan, like he told Job, if you put forth your hand now, send me now. Take your hedge off and send me forth. Give me the ability to touch him. Let me touch him and let's see how loyal he really is. And a lot of us go through that. So read verse 11 now, and we're going to read that part. We're going to read that situation or that. Yeah, read that out.
Job chapter 1, verse 11. Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.
He told Satan, told Father, send me, and he gonna curse you. Read on.
And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the sabians fell upon them, and they took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of a sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Read on.
While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Read on.
While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, they're all...
Verse 18.
Oh, sorry. Verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all
now
this
stop
Job.
There. Go ahead. Finish it up. Finish 22.
Verse,
and all this
verse
Job
1.
Did what?
Sin not, nor charged God foolishly.
So we stop there, and you look at, I was here because you look at this story, and you look at the things that he lost, his substance, his ability to commerce, everything gone, right? Taking servants slain, his sheep, his camels, this, so his substance was hit. Then also his family, his children. Earthquake or building collapse, they all dead. One servant was saved to let him to know, notify, let him know. And in all of that, it said Job arose, he ripped his mantle, so that he shaved his head, so he did mourn. He was mourning, he was upset, he was hurt, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and prayed to the Most High. But in all that he went through, what the Most High wanted to see was how he would react. Come disturb me, prepare your spirit for temptation. He said, cleave unto me and depart not away. The Most High is looking at us to see, in the worst situations, when you could want to take it out or look for someone to blame, the Father looked at, this is the way, this made the Bible, because this is the way the Most High wanted us to deal with our issues. He left an example for us to know how I'm supposed to act, how I'm supposed to now deal in the Spirit to still honor the Father. He said, in all this, Job said not. I mean, Job didn't pick up a phone and say, okay, I'm going through this, but I got to smoke. I got to find something to deal with what I'm going through. I'm going to drink, smoke. I'm going to go out in the world, man, and I'm just going to let loose and do all the things that I want to do. Just like we see examples of people you can watch, they left the truth from whatever they was going through. And when it was their test, you can see they failed miserably. That faith that they had, gone. The hope that they had, gone. The charity and love that they have, gone. Because this is how you know that this person failed his test. No different than you knowing yourself. How do I know that I'm failing my test? My hope is weak. My faith is weak. My love, my charity is weak. Now all of a sudden, I'm all about me. If it does not benefit me, then I'm not going to do it. That's the Most High showing me that these are the things that are in me that only weaken me. But that is me failing my test. Now, I want you to go to Job. Chapter 2, real quick now. Job, we're going to go to chapter 2. And I want you to read verse 1. All right, we're going to read 1. And we're going to read down to verse 1 to 10. Read 10, matter of fact, yeah, read down to verse 10. Now, I'm kind of letting you go a little bit. I'm not trying to stop, so you can kind of get to the point, get through, and then I'll explain it, okay?
Job, chapter 2, verse 1. Uh-huh. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord.
Go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips.
So we read this and we look at this, showing that for everything that he was going through, I didn't crack, I didn't I didn't lose my faith, I didn't lose hope, I didn't do all the things that you wanted me to do. When the things that I lost, I lost. So Satan went back, okay, I'm going to hit Job physically. Now that this is put there for an example of somebody who then been hit physically. And when they was hit physically, you would think, man, I caught cancer. Then you should be cursing your God. Get angry, live your life. And this is your last 6 months on this earth, or your last year on this earth. Instead of me going and saying, you know what? If I know this all the time you give me, then I'm going all out for the Most High. I'm going, I'm going to go grind for the Father. Instead of me thinking that way, I'm thinking, well, shoot, if I only got 6 months to live or a year to live, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go do all the, I'm going to write my bucket list. And for everything that I haven't done, I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to go do all the things on my bucket list that I didn't get a chance to do in my life. And I'm going to go on and die. That would have been someone who cursed the Most High and died. That's someone who gave up their faith. That's someone who went on and gave up their hope. That's the one that went and gave up their love and their charity. And they accepted death. So when you look at this woman coming, she's like, hey, you looking so bad. You're looking so bad, you might as well give up your integrity. You really finna hold on to this hope? You really finna hold on to faith? You really finna try to hold on to charity? Look at, obviously, the Father done forsook you. Obviously, he ain't here for you. And I love the fact his answer showed his integrity. Am I only going to, is it only going to be, I'm only going to be in order when it's all good? I'm not going to be in order with the Father when I'm going through something? I can't do that. I'm not going to sin with my lips. I'm not going to turn on the Father. I am going to now keep that faith, keep that hope, keep that charity. And when you read I think it's the end of Job. I forgot every chapter is in Job. But when you read the last of the chapters in Job, you really start to see that all the way through, for everything Job went through, the Most High blessed Job. I think it was 100-fold. But he was blessed in the end because he kept his faith, because he kept his hope, because he kept his love or his charity. So from there, go to Ecclesiastes in the, I want to say the Apocrypha, let me make sure. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 12, okay? 1 second, you guys. Ecclesiastes 10 and 12. And the bar, I mean, not that, I'm just making sure that it's in the Bible, in the Apocrypha real quick. Yeah, it is the Apocrypha. All right. Woo. I want you to read here, right? Let's say 12. Now, I was going to read start at verse 5, okay? You read 5. Okay. This chapter, this, are you there, brother? I'm going to read it.
I'm here.
Chapter 10. Okay, I wasn't sure. Okay, go ahead and start with 5. Read 5.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5. In the hand of God is the prosperity of man, and upon the person of the scribe shall he lay his honor.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6. Bear not hatred to thy neighbor for every wrong, and do nothing at all by injurious practices.
So I'm just reading here real quick. It says, in the hands of the Most High is the prosperity of men. It says, and upon the person of the scribe shall he lay his honor. And now I'm giving this person the word. We read a book that has been scribed to us, that was written for us to come back and follow. But we understand that our prosperity is in the hands of the Most High. That's why I can't lose my faith. I can't lose my hope. I can't lose my charity, because I understand who is the one that's going to bless me and what is it that he is requiring of me. Read verse 7. Let's jump down to verse 7. That's what I really need. 7 and 8, okay? Read that.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 7. Pride is hateful before God and man, and by both doth one commit iniquity.
He said pride is hateful before the Most High and man, and by both does one commit sin. But pride is when you depart from the Most High. The fact that I have now, in my anger, in what I feel shit was done unfairly, or what I'm going through, I feel like that wasn't fair. The Most High look at me like it was a test. A test didn't need to be fair. I wanted to see if you still had your faith, your hope. Your love. I want to see if that was still there. But because that pride, like I shouldn't have gone through something, or I'm above going through what you're putting me through, the Most High said that was hateful before him and man. And by both, by pride being hateful, he said you commit iniquity. This is sin. Just come from your opinion. Read on. Verse 8.
Because of unrighteous dealings, injuries, and riches got by deceit, the kingdom is translated from one people to another.
That's why we're in the condition that we're in. Jump down to verse 12.
Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12. The beginning of pride is when one departeth from God, and his heart is turned away from his maker.
So we're understanding where our beginning is. The beginning of pride is when we start to depart from the Most High. And our mind is turned away from our maker. Our faith, our hope, and our charity, our love, that we have lost that. That is the beginning of you turning from the Most High, because these are the things that the Father looked at to see if this was still in you. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you, the Most High said, if you have faith, you're going to go ahead and now go in the direction that I tell you to go in. Do the things that are required of you by me, trusting that I know what I want. Trusting that, you know, this is me pleasing the Most High, and I'm going to get blessed for walking down this road. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is where we're supposed to be growing. That was it. Read the next one. Read 13.
Verse 13. For pride is the beginning of sin, and he that hath it shall pour out abomination. And therefore the Lord brought upon them strange calamities and overthrew them utterly.
Yeah, the Most High showed you, the Most High started looking at, because you lost your faith, because you lost your hope, because you lost your love, and that ability to have charity. So when all these strange things had happened to you, what's up? This came suddenly because you stopped believing. You failed your test. You allowed these things to be stripped out of your spirit. The faith ain't there anymore. Every day you lost your faith, so you wonder why so many things are happening to you. You lost your hope. Now all of a sudden, you're not doing it for the Father in hope that I'm going to make it to the kingdom. I've stopped doing it for that reason. Everything I do, I'm trying to figure out how to benefit me. I lost my spirit of charity. Now that love, to where I was looking out for the next person, doing it for that next person, I have lost that. So we go through this, and you start looking. This is what the Most High was against. You're following after your own lust, not having faith in me. You are trying to take things matters to your own hand, not keeping your hope, keeping me as your hope. You are out looking out for you rather than that spirit that's the greatest of the three is charity. You have lost your ability to lay down your life or look out for the well-being of someone else. The only person I'm focused on is me. So when all the strange things keep happening, the Father's showing you failed your test, because we all sit in the seat of Job. We all get tested to see where our faith, our hope, and our charity is. From there, if you call in on the phone, I got you. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 2. It won't like you. I'm going to try. Isaiah chapter 65, and I want to read verse, I think it's 2 and 3. Let me make sure. Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread?
Hold on. That's 66. You're in 66, huh?
Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.
Hold on one more time. Wait a minute for a second. No, 65 and 2. It says Isaiah 65 and 2 says,
65.
I spread out my
hands.
Right,
flock you.
Yeah, Isaiah chapter 65.
And verse 2.
Start at verse 1, and you're going to read down to verse 3, okay?
Isaiah 65 and verse 1. I have sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that is not good after their own thoughts.
Stop right there. The Most High showing one thing. He said, these are my people. This is Israel's my people. But the one thing that we keep doing, he said, when we walk in ways that are not good after their own thoughts. So we keep trying to do things our way, and the Most High's trying to show us in your pride, the problem that we don't keep having it, is you keep trying to do things your way. You came up with them thoughts. And then when it does not work, I'm angry and I'm pissed off because I'm not being blessed, but you're not being blessed because you're trying to go and do things that you came up with, trying to look out for you. And the Father's trying to show us that is pride. You're walking in a way that's not good. And the whole time, when somebody's trying to show me all the flaws in it, you know, the one thing that a person reflects to, well, it may not be good, but it's good for me. It may not seem good to you, but if you look at it, this is something that's good for me. And then when it don't work out, I'm mad because the Most High didn't bless me. Well, who are you looking out for? The Most High's trying to show you you're walking in your pride because your way leaves out faith. Your way leaves out hope. Your way leaves out charity and love. Because if I was by faith, I was waiting on the Father. And so we've gotten good walking in our own way. Because I'll go to the Bible and say, well, don't the Scripture say this? Well, don't the Scripture say that? And the Most High looking at us like, okay, but what you're doing ain't good. The only person you've been to hurt is you. That's why the Most High called us a rebellious people. Because we walk in ways that are not good after our own thoughts. You came up with that, not one scripture. You can't put a string in. You can't, not the scriptures, I'm sorry. You have to be able to go to the Bible and look at an example of somebody in the Bible who was doing what you're doing. If you want to truly be justified in the moves you're making and what you're doing, instead of it going to a scripture to be able to, well, the scripture do say this, well, the scripture do say that. Because we was in church and people could do that. If you wanted to believe God loved everybody, then you went to a scripture that said God loved everybody. If you try to use that one scripture to build your whole case on that one scripture. But I couldn't find one example in the book that justifies my case. And that's what I'm supposed to be looking for. I'm looking for someone who has done what I'm doing so I can say, these are not my thoughts. I read this in the Bible. That's supposed to be our strength. But when I can't read it in the Bible and I'm out doing something, that's my pride. That's what the Father's trying to show me. So read that again, Elton.
Isaiah 65, verse 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that is not good, and after their own thoughts. Verse 3, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick.
Stop right there. So every time I'm walking in my way and my thoughts, the Muslim said, man, you start sacrificing. You out here doing things, but you sacrifice in gardens. You're investing in the things that the Most High like, that ain't got nothing to do with me. The road you're trying to go down has nothing to do with me, but you're trying to make that investment because you're out looking out for you. or you just want to be right. You want to be able to say, you know what, look what I did. Not look at what was done for the body, but look at what, as a body, what we did. I want to be able to say, see, I have wisdom. I have knowledge. Look at what I did. And the Most High is not honoring what we're doing, because those, the scriptures tell us those thoughts are not good. They're your own thoughts. They're not good. And the Most High said, a people that provoke me to anger continually. So every time I'm trying to walk in my thoughts, the only thing I'm doing is angering the Father. Every time I start sacrificing in gardens, looking into this venture, giving myself over here, giving myself and giving myself to one arena to the next arena, giving myself to one obstacle to the next obstacle, I will go to the Bible and find out, man, what is it that the Father requires of me? What I'm looking to do is try to justify for the thing that I'm doing, even if I tell myself, well, this is my job. It's just work. This ain't got nothing to do with the Most High. This just work. The mistake you're making is that you're sacrificing in gardens. It says the burnt offering upon altars of brick. I've made this my hope. I've made this job my hope. I made this job my hope or my faith. I let this be the thing that I'm saying is saving me. And this is where we don't understand. The only thing that you're doing is you're provoking the Most High to anger. Now, let that go, all right? Proverbs 30 and 12. Proverbs 30 and 12. Let's go there real fast, all right?
Proverbs 30, verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness.
Right. We are that generation. We have to realize that how is it that the Spirit is able to see a generation that's not that are pure in their own eyes? We are the only ones that get up every day and tell ourselves what? I'm okay. It's all good. I'm serving the Most High. I get up, and the only person I benefit is me. And every day I tell myself what? I'm pleasing the Most High. I'm walking in wisdom. I'm in the Spirit. We have to look and see them. We are that generation he's talking about is us. We really believe that we are upright in our own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. We haven't been working and cleaned ourselves up. So the things that you go through show you the filthiness in you. If it's a lack of faith, if it's no hope, if it's no love, if it's no charity, if I ain't got no kindness, gentleness, I can't forgive. The Most High showing me, you think you're right, but look at all the things in you that have not been washed. Look at the rebellion. Look at the disobedience that's in you that has not been washed. And that's what this is about. We have to realize that we're supposed to be that generation that is cleaning ourselves up, not looking at ourselves like, I'm walking down the road that is upright with the Father. Most I like, well, yeah, you went down that road, you got the job. You went down that road and you bought a house. You went down that road and you have a nice car. But your spirit is still filthy. your spirit still lacks all the things in it that it still has in it, all the things that you're supposed to be cleaning up. Check this out, man. That's a power, that's a strong scripture. Right? Read that again, and then we'll go to Proverbs 25, okay? Read that one more time.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness.
I want you to read this now. Go to Proverbs 25, right? And I want you to read Proverbs 25, and I want you to start at verse 26, okay? And then you're going to read verse 27. And as I'm, like, going through and looking at these scriptures, when it comes to how we do things and how we look at things, we don't realize that in the things that we do, the scriptures totally go going against how I'm doing. There are enough scriptures to show me what I'm doing wrong than me able to go there and try to justify what I feel like I'm doing right. Let's read that real quick. I want you to read Proverbs chapter 25 now, right? Go ahead and read that, brother.
Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26.
There you go.
A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and
hold on
a corrupt.
Hold on a second, sir. Woo, hold on, hold on. You get one moment? One moment? Okay. Now, read that again. Now, I'm done. Now, I had to stop that for a minute. I had to slow that down. Is it a righteous man that does what?
Proverbs 25:26. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring.
Go ahead.
Verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey.
Okay,
so
let's
for
stop
men-
there. It's going into, hold up. It's going into a different topic, right? A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain. That means what springs up from that righteous man who done fell, who done bowed down to a wicked, even if we're in a wicked society, and we try to now do things the way they do it. The only thing that comes up of us is trouble, corrupted. This never comes up the right way. We don't come up the right way. We don't grow the right way. Because I'm trying to adjust in a wicked society. I'm trying to come down. I'm a righteous man, but I done fell before the wicked. I done now bowed down to their way of looking at things and trying to now prosper and succeed in their wicked society. He said the only thing that'll come of that man is a troubled fountain. Is it at a corrupt spring? Because the most I look at, those are your thoughts. That you have the thoughts that we come from a world where these are our thoughts. That in this world, I figured out how to maneuver, how to do things, and how to justify actions by saying, well, I don't see anything wrong with this. I don't see anything wrong with that. But when it does not work out, when as a fountain, something springs up, but it's troubled. There's always there's an issue with the growth. It doesn't grow. It doesn't come up. And I can't figure out why I'm not getting blessed. Or I'm getting blessed with always conditions. Or I end up losing while it's coming up. The Most High trying to show you you're a righteous man, but you're falling down before the wicked. You're trying to now do it their way, and nothing good comes from a righteous man trying to do things the way the world does it. Verse 27 says, it is not good to eat much honey. So, for men to search their own glory is not glory. So when you search it for your own glory, the Father says, the Bible says it's not glory. Now, hold on, let that go real quick, right? I want you to go to Psalms 44. All right, Psalms 44. And this is all I like to show you what pride is. It's showing the thing that I'm pushing for, the thing that I strive for every day. I'm trying to look good in my eyes. I'm trying to have some building a self-esteem. I'm trying to build how I feel about myself. I'm trying to build that up. And the most I like, then I would look at you, I wouldn't even look at it like it was bad. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to go out here in the world and put something together in the world. You've fallen and kind of submitted to their way of doing things, and you don't realize that what's going to spring up from that is corrupt. What's going to come up from it is a troubled fountain. It'll come up, but there's a lot of problems to it. There's a lot of destruction to what you're building. People get hurt, you get hurt, because you've been trying to now come under the authority of something that's wicked, or this wicked society that we live in. Psalms chapter, 44? Sorry. All right, and verse 1, you're going to read that.
Psalms 44, verse 1, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, Mashil, we have heard with our ears, O Lord, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out.
Read on.
For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but by thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them.
You want to look at how we read this out? When I read this, the most I was trying to show you where our humility was, we understood that everything that we got, we didn't get it because you went out there and worked. Like we look at the world. The world teaches you, man, if you want anything in life, you got to get out of here. You got to work for it. The most I like, y'all didn't work. When I gave y'all the kingdom, when I gave y'all the land flowing with milk and honey, y'all didn't have to do anything. I gave it. It wasn't your sword. It was my sword. I got it for you. It wasn't your arm that saved you, your wisdom that saved you. I saved you. It wasn't your right hand. It wasn't by your arm. The Most High showed us none of that. It was just because thou a favor unto them. I did it because of the covenant. I did it because I found favor in you. So we look at it now. We're trying to do everything to go out here and be successful, except going and having and doing the things that the Father would find favorable. Let me go and work and find favor in the Father's eyes. That is what we were supposed to be doing, because that is what humility is built on. That is what humility is. But in our pride, I want my sword to be what did it. I want my wisdom to be what got me here. I'm looking for I went out in this wicked world, man. I kind of used wisdom. I went ahead and voted. I did, you know, I might have, you know, put this little business together, and I did these things, and I watched this kind of come together. And the Father the whole time is like, this is where your pride is. You're looking to be able to say that you did it, not that I did the things that found favor in the eyes of the Most High, and he blessed me like he did my forefathers, like he did in the times of old. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we go in this book and we learn what things that they do and how did they deal that the Most High found favor. We can go back and read something simple as the story of Joshua fighting the Battle of Jericho. And instead of him pulling swords, shooting arrows, burning the city down, everything else, he walked around because that's the Most High wanted. I don't want you to fight. I want you to walk. So you start looking at these stories and you're like, man, there's a way that the Most High wants me to fight this battle. And it's contrary to anything that I could see that the world would be a standard for how to fight the battles that I'm in. From there, I want you to go to Ecclesiastes now, chapter 30, right? This one's in the Apocrypha, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 30, and I want you to read verse 21. You writing them down, sir? Are you writing these down? All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 30, when I say
21.
21?
Ecclesiastes chapter 30, verse 21. Give not over thy mind to heaviness, and afflict not thyself in thine own counsel.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
You know, I like what he tells you not to afflict yourself in your own counsel. That means I don't walk in my own counsel, because the only person that I'm going to hurt is me walking in my own counsel. That is not what our fathers did in times of old. No one was trying to take the credit or go out here and just come up with a new way of doing things and then just doing it. There was no success in any of that. The Most I call that pride. So it is looking at us to say, hey, you know what? I need you to go back and read. And in these conditions, these situations that your forefathers were in, how did they work their way out of it? What did they do to find favor with the Most High, so the Most High was going to save them out of the condition that they're in? We're looking today stuck in our condition. We're stuck in the condition that the Most High put us in, but I'm trying to vote my way out of it. But I'm trying to work a job and work my way out of it. I'm trying to pay bills to get out of it. I'm trying to clean up and have a good credit score to get out of it. The Father's like, you need to look at the examples that were left for you in the Bible, how when they were in these situations, what they did to get out of it, how they found favor to get out of the condition or the situation that they were in, or we were in as a people. What verse is that?
Ecclesiastes chapter 30, verse 21.
Read Psalms 81 and verse 10. All right? Psalms 81 and verse 10. Read that.
Psalms 81, verse 10.
Read that.
I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and opened thy mouth wide, and I will fill it.
He said, if you open your mouth, he said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Not you going to fill it. I will fill it. Go ahead.
But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me.
Israel didn't want the Most High to feed them. Go ahead.
So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries.
Yeah, Moses, I was going to help them. I would have helped them. I would have subdued their enemies. I would have turned my hand against their adversaries. Moses, I would have did it quickly. All you had to do was not follow your way of thinking, and now go back and look at all the examples in the Bible and pattern yourself after the examples that are in the Bible. Let me go and learn what things that my forefathers did to gain favor in the eyes of the Most High, and now let me give myself to that. The Most High's like, I would have blessed you without no problem. I would have took care of you without any problem. Read verse 15.
Psalms 81, verse 15. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But
read
their
that
times,
one more time.
But the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him.
Stop. Read it again.
The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him.
Really?
But their time should have endured forever.
Most I show you, we end up putting ourselves in that category. When we don't want to walk in his way, when we want to walk after ourselves, all we're doing is putting ourselves in the category of hating the Most High. We won't submit. We will not do things that gain his favor so that he can protect us. And we're coming into the time that if things are getting harder, it's closer and closer to Christ coming, and all we've learned to do is hate the Father. We don't want to do it his way. We're not going to submit to his way. He said, but their time should have endured forever. I'm like, man, we should have been in the kingdom already. I want you to read, let that one go now, son, and read Hosea. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 2. Let's try that now. Hosea chapter 13. And we just painting a picture. Right? We keep showing life would have been so much easier if we would have made our focus on him. If we made the focus, this is what the Father's asking. These are examples that were left for us to follow. Then, hey, let me follow it. Let me submit to this example. Let me submit to the things that I'm learning in this Bible that gain favor in the eyes of the Most High. What we try to do, we try to find the scriptures that help us gain favor in the things that we're doing. See, if I say money is a defense, man, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to go get this money. Because the Most High said money was a defense. So if I go out and get this money, I got to pay bills. I got to do this. Then we'll say, hey, we got to render unto Caesar what Caesar. We live in this world. We got to make money so we can pay bills. That's wisdom. No, wisdom is learning the book enough so I learn how to gain favor in the eyes of the Most High. And if I can learn how to gain favor, what things does the Most High look at and he say, this is well-pleasing. Operating this way is well-pleasing. Now I can watch the Father be there for me. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 2.
Before you read that,
check this out. Read Hosea 4 and 6, right? Something we know. Hosea chapter 4, and you're going to start at verse 1 down to verse 6, okay? Read that first.
Hosea chapter 4, verse 1.
Yep.
Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land.
Really?
By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood.
Only thing we keep doing is making one problem after another problem. We kill, we lie, we swear, we steal. He said, this is the controversy. The Moses said, there's no truth. I'm not trying to stand up for righteousness. There's no mercy. I'm quick to cut off, turn my back on, then help. No knowledge of the Most High is the land. I'm not teaching a person how to gain favor with the Father. I'm teaching them how to survive in this world. And most of the time, looking at, I don't want you to survive in this world. I wanted you to gain favor with me so that I could fight those battles for you. I want to destroy your enemies, but I want you to learn to gain favor with me. And we haven't learned that. And that is the controversy. Read verse 3.
Hosea 4, verse 3. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away.
Really?
Let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest.
Stop there for a second. Hold on. Stop there. You look at what he's trying to show us, man. He said the land is mourning, so the things that we need, they ain't there for us. The earth doesn't give yield the way it's supposed to. We don't have anything. And everyone that dwells therein is languishing, suffering, afflicted, with the beast of the field and the fowls of the air. Birds, they got no place to fly. Animals, they have their homes. They land and invaded. They hunted. Fish of the sea also shall be taken away. And the most I look at it, and people, no one can reprove another. I'm not going to allow nobody to check me. I allow myself to be corrected. For my people are as they that strive with the priest. Every day we argue with somebody who's trying to show you how to gain favor in the eyes of the Most High. But they can't be right. They can't have the right answer to show me how to get blessed out of the situation that I'm in. Verse 5. Open a year.
Hello.
Therefore shall they fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mothers, all your nourishment, everything that you try to go to for support. The Moses said, it's going to fall. Therefore shall they fall in the day when they think you see the right path. Your eyes are wide open. It looks so clear. This is where we're going. This is going to work. The Father said, you're going to fall there. It ain't going to work. Remember, I told you, you want to fall and kneel to the wicked? You try to, like, do it their way? Okay. It's going to be a fountain of trouble. a trouble. You're going to be a trouble fountain and a cursed spring. Or he said, I'm not paraphrasing the last part of it. But the Most High showing you, this is the process that is destroying our people, and this is the result of us not humbling down, us not trying to win favor in the eyes of the Father. You are not going to make it. In the day, the prophets going to fall with thee, they're going to fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy that mother. I say, ain't nobody safe. Ain't nobody getting out of the suffering that is set up for us if we don't learn to find favor in his eyes. Verse 6.
Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
Verse 7. As they were increased, so thy sin against me, therefore will I change their glory into shame.
So you look at it, I'm stopped there. Now go to 13, right? Now go to Hosea chapter 13 and verse 2. Because now that'll make more sense, right? If we read this now, it's going to be a lot clearer because we can understand that process.
Hosea chapter 13, verse 2. And now thy sin more and more, and have made them
more. Now they sin. Read that one more time.
And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding. All of it.
Idols according to what? Idols
their own understanding.
Read.
All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves.
So you got to look at how we start going in this side. He said, we make idols of our own understanding. We came up and think that, you know what, from my achievements, I'm trying my best to idolize my achievements because I come from a world that idolizes their achievements. So I'm operating. I'm not idolizing. Man, I found favor in the eyes of the Most High, and the Most High blessed me. No, I'm not going to do that because I don't have faith in that. That's not what my hope is. Hell, I don't condemn myself already when it comes to serving the Most High. I look at all of the things that I've done wrong. Man, I might as well go ahead and turn to the world because there's no way the Most High is going to bless me for the things that I've been doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make my pact with Satan. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try to figure out how to not operate in this world and be able to figure a way to come up. I'm going to vote. I'm watching YouTube videos. They're out there trading stocks, doing the money trade or whatever, doing the stock market. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get in and learn how to do that so I can come up. Then I'm going to get the money to come so I can use that money to buy land or to do something that's going to help Israel. The one thing the Most I'm looking at, everybody got this grand scheme idea of what they can come up with or what something they can be doing that's going to help Israel. And the only thing that the Most High wants us to do to help Israel is to gain favor in his eyes, to learn to live my life more in order with the Most High so the Most High bless the choices I've made. He bless the righteousness that I draw to. He bless my faith, the faith that I put, the Father, I'm going to wait on you. I'm not trying to invest in this world. I'm not falling to this world. I'm going to go ahead and have faith in you. My hope that is that, Father, you bless me. You take care of me. If I do what's right, you're going to be there for me. My faith, my hope, and in my charity, I'm looking out for the next person. I'm going to give because I know that if I give and I do and make the sacrifices that please you, I'm going to gain favor in your eyes. This is what's supposed to be growing. But the Most High showed us one thing. The one thing we've learned to do, we have grown. He said, now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it, the work of the craftsmen. For it says, they say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calf. Let me do it for the money. Let me do it for the honor. We believe now that every man wants to go out and sacrifice. You got to kiss the ring. You got to do it because this is what we believe works. And I'm telling you to do things and live your life so you gain favor with the Father, so we can be blessed. So the Most High can be there to fight the battles that we need him to fight. We're not pushing that. We're telling everybody to use wisdom. Keep the law, statutes, and commandments. Make wise choices in business. Make wise choices in your relationships. Make wise choices. We're not saying in business, use, gain the favor of the Most High. That should be your business. In the relationship, gain the favor of the Most High. In this relationship, these are the things that we're supposed to be teaching. This is how we get blessed by the Father. So from there, did you finish? We finished that, right? I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2 through 4, all right? Proverbs 21.
Two through four. Proverbs chapter 21, verse two. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord.
Hold on. Start at verse one.
Proverbs 21, verse one. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whether so he will. Every way
Every way of a man is what?
Right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth his hearts. Verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Verse 4. A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin.
Damn. So you look at the Most High showing us, man. The king's mind, his heart, his mind, it's in the hands of the Lord. He says, the river of water, he turneth whatsoever he will. That means the Most High is guiding that king. A righteous man, he only right in his own eyes. But the Most High looking and trying to figure out, okay, where is this man's heart at? Is he trying to gain favor with me, or is it just about his come up? But the Most I tell you, a proud heart, I mean, that proud mind, a high look, the Most I tell you, that's all sin. So as we go through this, this is what we're trying to get away from. And we're going to come back and continue finishing working on this chapter next week, because we understand the issues and problems, and we understand the things we got to change so that we can gain favor, we cannot put ourselves in a position where we can start to get ourselves right with the Most High and get blessed for our righteousness. So with that, I'm not going to hold it longer, man. I know we're right there at that end. We're going to thank everybody for joining us. And we ask everybody to continue joining the classes and coming out, man, and growing up with us in wisdom, in knowledge, and in understanding. So with that, I'm going to say shalom, and y'all have a great Sabbath day.